Hello, everybody. Welcome to shareenjoyment.com. This is Mordechai Plotzker, and tonight's share is actually a new topic, something that came about as a result of asking a bar mitzvah boy what excited him about the parsha. And his response to me was, how could Moshe get angry? We're always told not to get angry. Everyone's always telling us to control ourselves, control our temper. So why was it acceptable for Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parsha to not only get angry, but to break the luchos, which we all know comes from a different world? It doesn't come from this world. Remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, right? As the Zohar HaKadosh says in Parshas Bereishis, Istakol Baraisa Ubari Alma. Hashem looked into the Torah. And here, the Luchos are a manifestation of that Torah. And Moshe broke them. And not only was he clearly responsible for the breaking, the great Reish Lakish in the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Pei Zayin Amar Aleph says, Yafa Shashibata. You did a good job by breaking it. So we have a lot of questions to start with. When is anger acceptable? When is it not acceptable? And also, we can actually branch this question out to say, what about the Mei Meriva? Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and he hit the rock twice. And as a result, he was punished severely by not being allowed entry into Eretz Yisrael, which is really what Moshe Rabbeinu had hoped and desired to do. So let's start by exploring some of these questions. Well, let's take a look at the Rambam, and let's take a look at some different sources, including Rabbi Sacks. So the Rambam is actually very clear when it comes to anger. And the Rambam explains that when it comes to anger, it's a person should always try to find the common ground. You should never go to one extreme. And this is brought down in Hilchos Deos, Perek Beis, or Sif Gimel. He tells us that in general we should follow the middle way in emotional life. I'm just translating to you in English what the Rambam says. There are emotions that which could get the better of us, but we should always try to eliminate them. And when he talks about emotions, he's referring to pride and anger. And about anger specifically, he says this: anger is an extremely bad attribute, and one should distance oneself from it by going to the other extreme. One should train oneself not to get angry, even about something to which anger might be appropriate response. Chachamim say, continues the Rambam, that one who yields to anger is as if he had worshipped idols. Let's pause for a moment. Try to understand what that means. I've heard this a lot, and I'd like to try to come up with a possible explanation as to what this means. When someone is very angry, they're so consumed in their own opinion that they're unable to listen to someone else's opinion. In fact, when someone is arguing with somebody out of anger, they're no longer listening to the counterparty to get some advice or to get some understanding as to the other position. They're just lining up their next line in order to basically shove it down the other person's throat, because they are so firmly confident that they are correct, they're not able to see anything. So in fact, they're worshiping their own opinion. And if you worship your own opinion, that really is a form of idolatry. And so the Rambam continues by saying that whoever yields to anger, if he is wise, his wisdom deserts him. And if he is a prophet, his prophecy leaves him. So the Rambam is saying that it's detrimental to your mental state of being if you succumb to anger. And the life of an irascible person is not a life. Someone's always bitter. Someone's always angry. It's not really a life. You know, there are people that walk around like that all the time. And they're angry about this and they're angry about that. They just never seem to be able to enjoy life. And life is so fleeting. So it's really chaval al hazman, as they say. But the Rambam adds an important qualification. If one wants to instill reverence in his children and family or in public, if he still is the head of that community and his desire is to show them his anger so as to bring them back to the good, he should appear to be angry with them so as to reprove them. but he must inwardly remain calm as if he were acting the part of an angry man, but in reality, he's not angry at all. So this is actually quite astonishing if you start to think about what the Rambam is saying over here, that if you want to instill reverence in your children, in family, or in public, then you have to act as if you're angry, but really, really, inside, you love that person. If you really want to stop a person from smoking because you know that smoking is detrimental to that person's health, then the best way to admonish the person would be to bring them to an oncology ward or bring them to somebody who's suffering from emphysema as a result of smoking cigarettes their whole life. And it's a form of anger, right? Because you're shocking a person into corrective behavior. And it's not an easy thing to do because the Rambam explains over here that if a person is going to get angry and the other person is going to get angry in response, then you've lost it. The only way that anger is truly effective is if you silence the other person through your anger. And so I wanted to share with you a Kiddushas Levi on this point. Kiddushas Levi explains that the Pasuk says, Lo yachel devar kechol asher yotzei piv yaaseh. The person should not use his words in vain. Whatever comes out of his mouth, he should do. And in the secular world, that means like an honors handshake. If you shake on a deal, even if you haven't signed the paperwork yet, I want to buy this house. Okay, I'll sell it to you for $500,000. Okay, let's shake on it. Well, we didn't sign any documents. It doesn't matter. We're shaking on it. Once you shake on the deal, shake your hands on the deal, then you know that you've locked it in. Now, this is actually quite interesting because that's not the way the Torah looks at things. The Torah looks at things as if to say, how in the world do you know whether in 2 months' time when you go to closing, you'll be here to make that closing. Anything can happen between now and then. So since everything is so up in the air, so to speak, it's all Bidei Shemayim, how could someone promise to do something in 3 months' time when they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? So, of course, that's not the way we do business, right? We have to make commitments. However, the Kedushas Levi brings down that if we read these words differently, we can see something else that's hidden within these words. Lo yachel devaro. Someone who is careful not to make his words mundane. He's so selective in what he says and when he says something. Everyone really listens closely to what he has to say. When he finally opens up his mouth to say something, Yaaseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is going to take care of it for him. And this actually speaks, not him, because we all know that it's not up to the person, it's up to Hashem. So Hashem will take care of these words to make sure that they are successful. Now, it's interesting because if a person walked around all day angry, yelling and screaming at people in the street, then nobody's going to pay any attention to him. They'll just say he's a madman. And so therefore he lost it in the sense that he's not able to affect change on anybody because he's always angry. But if a person is so soft when he speaks and he's so, very selective in what he says, and then when a person starts to speak, he starts to, say a few words and people play, and then this person starts yelling and screaming, then everyone really pays attention because they all know that he's definitely onto something and we better start listening. So when Moshe Rabbeinu dropped those luchos, the people that were present probably thought that the world came to an end. It was probably the greatest demonstration of OMG, right? It was probably the greatest demonstration of, I can't believe Moshe Rabbeinu took those luchos that came from Shemayim and were created by Hashem himself and threw them on the floor and broke them. Clearly, there is something grievous that we've committed over here. We've done something that's beyond pale. We've done something that is beyond measure. And so there are no words to describe the pain that Moshe must be feeling. It's the same pain that when a parent loves a child so much and a parent has to chastise the child, a parent has to punish the child, a parent has to tell the child that, you're docked from this or you can't go to play soccer, or you can't play baseball for a week or two, or if the parent has to discipline a child. There's a famous saying that if you don't discipline your children will discipline you. So obviously it's for the betterment of the parent-child relationship that the parent is the one who disciplines the child, lest it be vice versa. But it comes at a cost, because parents love their children, and it's very painful for them to chastise them and to discipline them and punish them. But again, we all know it's meant for their own good. When they do these things, when they do express their disapproval with certain behavior, then because it's so limited in nature, right, it's not every day, then the child will clearly catch on and say, I've done something that really has upset my parents, and they'll remember it, and they'll be more careful next time. So the Rambam is very clear. So when it comes to anger, yes, it's something that should be avoided at all costs. But the Rambam makes a very big deal about this when he talks about the Meimariva. If according to Rambam, we learn the Rambam inside, and we see that when it comes to people just losing patience with Moshe's arrival, Kiboshesh Moshe, and Moshe was delayed by 6 hours because they failed in their calculations. They counted the night that Moshe Rabbeinu had left, which was really part of the following day, because Moshe Rabbeinu had left in the morning, then they would not have been off. But, because they miscalculated in their calculation, to then go ahead and create an idol is entirely inappropriate. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was justified in breaking those luchos. However, for people complaining about water, no, that's not justifiable to hit the rock. If as Rabbi Norman Lamb once said, that if a leader resorts to violence in the form of anger to get across a message in order to communicate better to the people in that format, that already is an indication that a new leader needs to be selected. So that's the difference between the Chaita Ego and the Meimariva. And I just wanted to also just add on to this a point. It's all about the psychological well-being as well, right? Because there's a tremendous effect. There's a shock treatment that anger provides. So you could argue and say, well, Hashem is allowed to get angry. Yes, it's true. Hashem does get angry, but it's very, very limited. It's 1/64,000th of a second that Hashem gets angry every day. And if Hashem gets angry every day for only one, less than a fraction of a second, then surely our anger should be not that visible as well. We should also be, a people and individuals that are derecher dachi noam, v'chol nesiv aser shalom, and that's the path that we should pursue, a pleasant path, one that's filled with peace. But it's an attribute. And whenever it is used, it is used very, very in a very limited way, but it should have a really tremendous effect on the recipient. Because if it doesn't have an effect on the recipient, and then the recipient goes ahead and challenges and gets angry themselves, and if two people now are angry and yelling and screaming at each other, then it's not going to end well. So therefore, it's only effective when a person gets so angry that they shock the other person into silence. And then you know that anger was used in the most effective way. And that's exactly the way Moshe Rabbeinu used the anger in the parsha, by breaking the luchos, yafa shibarta. So I just want to close out with a kutzker. The kutzker says, in this week's parsha we see, psalacha shnei luchos avadim karishanim, right? That you should go ahead and make yourself two new shnei luchos. And Rashi says, you broke those luchos, now you're going to have to fix those luchos. And then there's another reference to Pesolacha, except it's the opposite. In Parshas Yisro, by the Aseres Dibros, one of the Aseres Dibros, we say, Lo Sasalacha Pesel, should not make for yourselves a graven image of God, right? And so the Kutzker says, in life, where does the word Lacha come? Does Lacha come first, meaning do you always put yourself first, right? The Torah says, no, you should never put Lacha first, because the Torah tells you, Lo sasa, you should not lecha pesel. You should not put yourself before the work that you need to get accomplished. But rather, what should you do? What's the ase? The ase is pesel lecha. Again, the word lecha follows the word pesel. After you've done your work, right? You make sure that you give attribution and recognition to others. So that's your job. That's your work, to help others, build up others, put yourself second and put everyone else first. And if you do that, it's really a siman tova for your life, because it's always thinking about others, helping others. And that's really the way we should be thinking about each other, especially as we lead into Pesach. There's opportunities now to help people. There are food distribution centers here locally in New Jersey and in New York. And it's tremendous chesed that goes on within our own communities. We should try our best to figure out ways that we can help one another as we prepare for Pesach that's coming up in a very short while. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you bracha ba'atzlacha. Please don't get angry with me for this Dvar Torah. I hope it was acceptable to you all. And God willing, Baruch Hashem, I'll be back next Sunday night at 9:50 sharp.